Hello, brothers and sisters. It's Jonathan Ritter. Hope you guys are having a good week, and I hope the peace of Jesus is with you guys always in this world that's full with darkness. Remember, God loves you. He got this. If you guys have been keeping track through the, 4 weeks now, maybe 5 weeks, we've been going over the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we've been looking at Galatians 15, 16 through 26, and Matthew 7, 16 through 20. And I want to encourage you guys to memorize these scriptures and pray through them. That God, that direction guides your life to be that Christian that in action and behavior is a reflection of Jesus. That's what we should strive for. And I appreciate all you guys just along this ride with me. And we went over quite a few of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I'm learning more from just studying of the previous sermons. And just learning more. And probably craft some better organized sermons with this. This is my first time going through the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I'm learning so much about myself, and I hope you guys are learning a lot too there, and you know, and it's helping you out to walk the walk and talk the talk. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna read Galatians 5, 16 through 26 and Matthew 7, 16, 20. We're gonna pray and then we'll get right into it, guys. Matthew 5, 16 through 26. Oh, hold on. It's best if I flip to it, right? This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to another, so ye cannot do the things that ye would. At verse 18, but if ye be able be led of the Spirit, ye are under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hate, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies. Verse 21. Envies, murders, drunkenness, reviling, and such like, which I tell you before, I have told you in time past. They that which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not desires of vain glory, provoking one another to envying one another. Matthew 7, 16 through 20. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs or of thistles? Even so, every good tree bring forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bring forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bring not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Therefore, by the fruits ye shall know them. Bow with me, guys. Heavenly Father, we just come tonight, Lord, just thanking you for the opportunity just to have time and reflection of all the things going on in our lives, Lord. Lord, we know that you're there for us, and that you guide and you will guide and you will direct us to be the light that you need us to be, God, through the direction and teaching of the sweet Holy Spirit that resides in your children, that guides and directs us, corrects us when we're wrong, keeps us on the path, helps us grow into being a disciple, that our fruit is seen among others, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for just getting us through the week so far, Lord. And God, I pray that you be with me as I give this sermon, and that whoever's out there needs to hear it, Lord, it just reaches their ears, Lord. It touches their heart. It motivates their spirit. It guides their hands and feet to reach out to their community around them, to be that light, to be that witness of your power and your glory. Lord, we pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're moving right along. We're about halfway through with this sermon series. And we've looked at love, and that's agape, right? It's unadulterated, pure, genuine love. We looked at joy, that's Jesus over you. And we looked at peace. And then last week's sermon, we looked at long-suffering. And today, we're looking at gentleness. You know, this one I was reading and doing my study on it and praying over it. This is a tough one for me, guys. Gentleness. As a preacher, we have to... Sometimes we get aggravated when we're preaching and it seems like it's not reaching the ears, and it really, I know for me, it can really upset me. But I have to realize I'm not responsible for the outcome. I'm just responsible for getting where God puts me and to preach what he has laid on my heart. I'm not in control of anybody's lives, that they want to come to Jesus or not come to Jesus. It's easy to get angry and lose that gentleness. And when we look at gentleness, you know, what can we say about gentleness? I was reading a few commentaries and books, and one definition which I really like was, gentleness is a strong hand with a soft touch. It is tender and compassion. A compassionate approach toward others' weaknesses and limitations. A gentle person speaks truth, sometimes even painful truth, but in doing so guards his tone so the truth can be well received. You know, gentleness, especially to this world, can look as a weakness. You know, we can still have a strong conviction and still be gentle in our delivery of it. There's hard truths out there, guys. You know, I was looking at some scriptures on gentleness. I came across 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. It says, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherished her children." This is Paul. He was speaking to the Thessalonians here and others around the area. And he said, "But we were gentle among you." I mean, we were gentle. As a nurse cherishes her children, that is feeding her child. I don't know if you look, you know, you see moms with their babies and you just see that bond there and how gentle they are to their babies normally. You got some that are abusive, but we speak that mother instinct, that mother care, that mother gentleness, you know. And Paul, he went through a lot of things. And he still could understand. It was all about the execution, delivery, and how you speak to people. He still can speak with a strong conviction. But you can do it in a caring and loving way. James 3:17 says this, "But the wisdom that is far above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle." And we talk about peace and gentle. That's that word, gentle. "And easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." You know, we look at James 3:17, and it says first pure, then he says peaceable. And peaceable being another fruit of the Holy Spirit. And gentle. Gentle, guys. And then it comes down here. It's a full of mercy and good fruits. You know, full of mercy. And that you look at gentleness and mercies right along with gentleness. You know, if you look at the Father, Jesus Christ, and when he walked this earth, he had to speak some hard truths. Some hard truths were, you know, Jesus spoke more on hell than any other topic in the Bible. A lot of people will look at it and it's like, well, it's all about love and love and loving. Yes, love is part of the, it's just part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But there's other aspects to it. Gentleness is to be able to give the truth. You know, Jesus tells us in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The truth is, Jesus is the only way, right? He's the truth and the life. And receiving Jesus means you are now born again. You are now his. You're a child of God, and you're a child of the King. You have an inheritance one day when you pass away. You know, I'll think, and you know Jesus is looking down on us, and he sees all this craziness going on in this world. And because I see it, and I'm like, God, come back soon. Come back now. And of course, I believe that should be a prayer that we should pray every day. Because it seems like this world's just getting evil and evil and wickeder and wickeder as it progresses. And the Bible tells us that will happen. But God looks down with his mercy. He looks down with his grace. And he's gentle. And he's holding back his wrath. Because he knows there's one person out there that needs to hear about Jesus. There's one person out there that needs to receive him and become a child of God that will not go to hell. You can also look at gentleness as strength under control. I was looking at an illustration here. I don't know if you guys really ever dealt with horses. And I was on Fort Polk. I even see them today. I came across some wild horses. And man, they're beautiful. Got the country boy stirred up in me wanting to go and jump on one and ride it, right? But they're not tame, I'm pretty sure. These are wild horses. But I was thinking of wild horses and tame horses. And as a child, I used to ride horses. And they were tame as they could be. But you see, both of these horses have strength. But the thing is, a wild horse cannot be used effectively. He or she has no control. You jump on top, they're going to buck and they're going to run, right? And they may stomp in your head. But when you look at a tame, a gentle one, it can be used very effectively. You see, the Holy Spirit trains us in being gentle. That gentleness, that Holy Spirit aspect. And we have to seek God and we have to listen to him. We got to allow him to filter everything through us. Or filter everything through him, more likely, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, and do what God says to do, not what our flesh. And that's part of the Galatians 5. It said, walk more in the Spirit and less in the flesh. And of course, when you look, and I like to pray a lot, and when you look at the, where you're praying through the Holy, you know, one part of my prayer is to walk more in the Spirit and less in the flesh. And I pray, let me show more love. Let me show more long-suffering. Let me show more gentleness. I pray through the fruits of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. And I pray, don't let me let me walk less in the flesh, and that's adultery and fornication. I pray those, and I memorize that, and that's one part of my prayer. And I believe that's a very powerful thing, guys, that we should do in our prayer time, especially in the morning before we get the day started. If you're working a night shift, you should pray through that. That we walk more in the spirit and less in the flesh. And one key thing here is the gentleness. I know in several of the translations, I'm just partial to the King James Version. When I was a kid, I read it. As an adult, I just migrate to it. And I love preaching out of it. I love the language. But I've noticed in several other translations, they substitute gentleness with kindness. And you know, looking at the differences in the scripture, kindness is actually a pretty good replacement word for gentleness. In this, I really like how the translators actually translated that kindness. Plus, it gives you a lot more scriptures to look at. I was looking at Ephesians 2, 7 through 10. And it says this, that in the age to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are a workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God have before ordained that we should walk in them. That's just beautiful. You know, it's one of my passages I use explaining salvation. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Verse 7 there, though, you look at exceeding riches of his grace and in his kindness. We take kindness and we put that with gentleness. So in his gentleness, in his kindness, you can substitute those two words. And the riches of his grace in his. So you look at grace, and grace is really, it's intricately involved in the gentleness and the kindness, depending on which word you want to use. And if you look at grace, you'll hear preachers say it's unmerited favor, which is correct. I like to try to break it down a little bit easier, if that's still kind of hard to grasp. And even amazing grace still is kind of hard to grasp, because you look at the cross and what Jesus did at the cross. But grace, I phrase it kind of like this. It's the good things that he gives us that we do not deserve. And mercy, I look as, is the bad things that he spares us from. See, the grace on the cross, we didn't deserve that grace. It all started at the very beginning. If you look Genesis 1 through 2, Genesis 1 through 3, and the fall of man, Adam and Eve, taking of the fruit and letting the sin come into this world. See, Jesus had to come to have that atonement, where we wouldn't have to sacrifice animals. We can come right where we're at. And I have several salvation messages within my website. If you guys are kind of new to this, you'll have to probably go back a few videos to catch this sermon series. We're probably on the sixth, and I took a gap in between to talk about salvation, which I'll probably do next week in this, because it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit is for the children of God. If you're lost, and if you're not, you're kind of new, you don't understand what loss is. Loss means you have not received Jesus into your life. So the fruit of the Holy Spirit doesn't apply to your life. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is because when you receive Jesus into your life, and I can break in my salvation sermons, I break that down, what that means and what's the outcome. And I give you the whole truth, you know. On it means you're different. The regeneration, you'll hear me talk about several times, your life has changed. You're no longer the same. The old things you were doing needs to stop. You are new in Christ. You're a newborn. You are reborn. John 3:1-3, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, he speaks of the born again. That's where we get that. But his grace, it rocks us. It still rocks me. But we take all that and we look at what Jesus did and we put it, and then we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And what is that supposed to look like when we're out there in the world and fighting those battles within the world? We should have kindness in our hearts. You know, kindness is an amazing thing when you just put God at the center of your life. When you put God at the center of your life throughout the day, you will do things that you're not even being aware of doing, because your mind is set more on who can I reach for you, Jesus. What can I do for somebody? You see somebody in need. You're not really looking for it, but you see somebody, and you look at them, and you're like, well, I hurt for them. Can I help them? Can I tell them about Jesus? You take time out of your day, your busy schedule, to tell somebody about Jesus and help somebody out. It could be opening a door for an older lady or helping a person load groceries in their car. Now make sure you're led by the Holy Spirit. We're going through this whole pandemic crisis, and you might get maced, so don't just walk up to somebody quickly and get in their face or whatnot. We're talking about being led by the Spirit. And being led by the Spirit, one thing is most important to be led of the Spirit is to start the day out with the Spirit, meaning praying and worship. And I preach a serious sermon on prayer, which is very important. It was about 4 or 5 sessions on prayer, how important prayer is and how it should be integrated into your life. Prayer is very important. If you're not praying up, you're probably not being led in the Spirit. So you need to be careful reacting to things, especially if you're not praying the way you're supposed to prayer. And our prayer life should be an integrally part of our lives. Pray without ceasing, right? You look at Jesus, he prayed all the time. From choosing his disciples upon the cross, when he looked down and said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they doing or what they've done. Even in that point, you could see his grace. You could see his mercy. You could see that kindness, that gentleness. Meaning, that's the way we should approach things. And like I said, I struggle with this in the sense of I can get flustered. And I look around this world and, you know, and especially after, you know, this pandemic, and I look at the hearts around me, and I would hope the churches were being flooded, but they're not. And that hurts my heart to see that, to see a more pulling away from God than coming toward God. In closing, guys, all of these fruit that we're speaking of, that's the love, the long-suffering, which I talked about in my last sermon teachings, and the peace. The joy, and now gentleness, need to be reflected in our life. In gentleness, you can think of kindness. When we look at our lives, now, of course, I talk about the difference from fruit and fruits. You'll notice in Matthew 16, he said, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." And I kind of gave a breakdown on that. It's important to be able to explain it, but in a sense, most important thing is to know, if I look at my life, or I look at my day, and I'm reflecting back, did I show love, agape love? Did I show joy and long-suffering? Did I show that gentleness, that kindness? Did I show that? You know, Jesus had or has harsh words in Matthew 7:16-20. You look at verse 18, he 17 said, "Even so, every good tree bring forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bring forth evil fruit," meaning you're gonna bring more evil fruit in a corrupt tree. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bring not forth good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. And therefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. I mean, the world would be looking at you, and other brothers in the Lord and sisters in the Lord are looking at you, and they're probably looking at you, and they're saying, "Where's your fruit? Where's your fruits at?" Heaven forbid if you question if they have fruits, because then they'll immediately think you're judging them. That's not what you're doing. But today in this world, you try to approach it with kindness, immediately they will be offensive to it. I just want to tell you, the way we deliver it, of course, matters. But there will be some that will just be offended, period. But if they're getting offended by the words in the Bible, and your heart is right, meaning you want them to see the truth, you value them, you don't want to see them go to hell, and you're just trying to lay it out. I'll say some, but many will say, "That's offensive, I don't want to hear it." At that time, you just get their name and place them on your prayer list, because they don't want to hear the truth. Any delivery method, you could get all mean and angry and just slam the Bible and just start preaching hellfire and brimstone. That won't do nothing. Give the scripture out in gentleness and kindness. That means heart. You can, like I was talking about, you can still have that conviction. You still can tell them the truth. Jesus said there's only one way. He is the way. From your point of view, you believe there's many ways. But I want to tell you, brother or sister or whoever you're talking to, maybe they're a friend. If they're not a child of God, they're not your brothers or sisters. I hear people calling people brothers all the time. He's not your brother in Christ. If you're a child of God and you're calling another person a brother that is from a Hindu or Buddhist or Mormon, or they're not your brother. That's a miss. They can be a friend. Even Jesus called Judas his friend. He considered his enemies his friend. But as we leave tonight, I just want you guys to kind of reflect on that. Am I showing gentleness? Am I showing the kindness when I step out and speak to people? Can they see the kindness in me? Just my being, right? That glow that you have that separates you from the rest. As we bow and pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the night, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about the other fruit of the Holy Spirit, gentleness. That's kindness. And you're the ultimate example on the cross, where the grace and mercy was poured out. Your loving kindness. Lord, Help us be more like you. Let our kindness radiate from our being. But let it not, don't let us compromise the truth, because within the truth, you will set people free. You will deliver them from a hell. Lord, give us the strength to be the children of God that you need us to be, Lord. God, and direct us and grow us throughout this sermon series, learning about love, agape love, and joy, and peace, and long suffering, and now gentleness, Lord. I pray, Lord, whoever's out there needs to hear this message, Lord, it just reaches whoever's out there, Lord. I pray if they need to be in contact with me or whoever, Lord, they reach out. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Hope you guys have a great rest of the week and weekend. Until next Wednesday. Love you guys. Bye.